start back.
I have confirmed that on the question on the transmission, it is unlimited miles. That cost, that $875, takes it out to a five-year unlimited miles, similar to the other vendor. So I'm going to stay with my recommendation of purchasing three vehicles from Peterbilt of Springfield at a cost of $116,442 each.
Motion to accept Randy's recommendation.
May I address the commission before you vote on this, or that makes you better?
We might address this in a discussion. We're not to that point yet. Right. We've made a motion. There'll be a second for discussion.
Okay.
But other than that, you can't address it from making a motion.
Okay.
My motion for the bid on the two-wheel drives was to follow Randy's recommendation on it.
For how many?
Yeah, that was the
best for three.
Three. Do we have
bid number 201504-298? Second.
Yes. Discussion. We have a vendor that wants to speak, or
that's up to you, Mike. And
yeah, come on up.
If I will. Casey Tinkler, Springfield Freightliner. Thank you. Just real quick on the bid, I know there's $176 difference between the bid, but when the thing went out to bid, we based our pricing on three of the four-wheel drive trucks, and you're awarding two of those. And you went to bid on two units on two-wheel drives, and now you're awarding three on those.
Right. And I understand that, and I know as a bidder, because I've been in on that process before, that we have changed, and we probably are to reconsider on the other and go with three other than the two. That's what was sent out to everybody. It's the numbers.
There's boilerplate that allows for fluctuation. It clearly states in there when we're not locked into any minimums or maximums. And there's also boilerplate wording in there that's kind of standard throughout the bid world, that the commission has the authority to rule 1, 2, 3, 10. They can also rule to reject all the bids. And that was going to be the initial recommendation from Mr. Hayes. Now, maybe I'm interjecting too much, but
no, this is in discussion. But here's the problem. I understand exactly where he's coming from. If I'm figuring a bid on anything, and I had to figure bids all the time in the electrical contracting business, and if I had to figure a certain number, it fluctuated what my bid would be if the numbers changed. Because if I was going to buy a quantity or if I was supplying a quantity, it made a difference. And that's the reason that I made the statement that I made there. I don't know that.
So when you guys originally went out for bid, you asked for three four-wheel drive and two two-wheel drive?
We did have that in there. That's kind of in several meetings with the supervisors. But when these costs all come in and looking at our budget, what we thought we could handle and talking with them, that most of the employees that I've talked to are over at the mother shops that were requesting to consider the four-wheel drive for sure, because we were talking when we weren't sure what they were coming in. We had an estimated cost on chassis, but when they added all the body and all the components we needed, it come in a little higher, which we didn't think we could handle that many four-wheel drives at that extra cost, especially when we had the lock and rear differentials. And so
but we went
supervisors
out for-
decide, well, maybe we these weren't really needed as
supervisors aren't going to get sued. So we went out for original bid for three four-wheel drive.
Three four-wheel drives
and
two-wheel drive.
Did you make that motion, or did you want to amend?
No, we need to amend. If that's what we need to talk about it. I didn't know that that's what we went out for bid for.
And I understand.
Up to, hey, maybe. A lot of ifs and buts in there, though.
These gentlemen have to deal with the budget, and Randy tries to keep everything in. But I understand exactly where the vendor comes from, because they can bid 10 different than they bid 5, or they can bid 3 different than they can bid
2 or 1.
So I understand totally. I also understand what Randy's problem is. Randy's got to hold within the budget line, and that's what he's trying to do with this. The question, Randy, is there...
Do we need a four-wheel drive at each shop?
I would like to have at least 2 of the shops.
My question to you is, when you figure the budget, that's what you're concerned with. Is there other places, or do you have a contingency fund where you could do 3 of the four-wheel drives, or are you just at the point where you say, no, I can't do that? Because that's your responsibility, is to make the final line match up, the numbers match up. I know what you've tried to do, and I have nothing. Look, I'm 100% behind you for what you're trying to do on this. What we're trying to do is, if we went out for 3 and we went out for 2, next time they get ready to bid, they might say, well, I'm not going to bid this for this amount because they may cut it down to 1.
Right, I understand that.
You see what I'm saying? So
it's going to make the difference on 5 vehicles if we change that. It's going to make about a $20,000 difference. That's basically what's going to happen.
One machine's a $12,000. I thought it was $12,000 more for a four-wheel drive than it is a two-wheel drive.
It's about $20,000, I believe, difference between a four-wheel drive and a two-wheel drive. Between 19 and 20.
I'm $17,000 different.
Well,
on my chassis price, I'm $17,000 difference between the two products. And Peterbilt's 20 grand.
Don't use this as an opportunity to bash her.
Well, there's only one way we can do this. If Randy says that the budget won't do that, well, then we need to...
I'm to the point wherever Randy wants to do.
Minimums or maximums, any of that?
Are you staying firm with what you want on the 2 and the 3? If you are, we're ready to go ahead. I understand what we're doing. We'll just have to make a correction on it next time.
Yeah, there's a difference of $16,297. My only thought is, if he wants 3, they'll give him 1 at each shop. Do you need 3, I guess? That's my question.
We're double-checking something to make clarification here. I don't know, but
that's where it would be.
That is exactly what we asked for, 3 four-wheel drives and 2 two-wheel drives. That was our initial concept to try to do.
But the dollars came in more.
The dollars came in quite a bit more. I got to look in a budget. How can we offset that cost? And either way we go, I still think if you allow me to go over that line item, which we're going to with 5 vehicles, regardless whether all two-wheel or four-wheel, I'm going to have to make that up somewhere in the budget down the line, and I've got a contingency to use to utilize that.
Now, here's my only other question. 220 days of getting the machines versus 90 days of getting the machines.
That's a big difference. And that is in there. We're looking at the end of summer. I do need these, especially before we get in and start looking at fall, winter months. And I think we can make it through this summer. But the 90 days looks better than the 220, which is a few more weeks.
Yeah, here that's 90.
Randy, do you want 3 four-wheel drives, or do you want 2 four-wheel drives?
Personally, I'd rather put one at each shop. That way each one has the same advantage no matter where they go, what terrain. Or if one goes down, I do have an extra, and we'd have to amend your bid. I mean, amend the
recommendation. Made the motion has to amend
you made the motion.
I made the motion on this one.
On this one and on the previous one.
Is that the way you read it?
You need to amend your motion. You need to amend your motion for this one right here to make it three machines.
Sure that I made it.
Or two machines instead of three.
Yes, you made both motions.
Okay.
Right now we're on the two-wheel drive.
So you need to amend it to two instead of three machines.
I need to make a motion to reconsider.
No. You need to amend your motion for two machines instead of three. On bid number 298.
Okay, I think that's right, but I think I'm supposed to reconsider.
You can do it after this one.
Yeah, we need to finish this one up first, and then we'll go back and...
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I make a motion to reconsider.
No, you need to amend your motion on number 290, bid number 298 from three machines to two machines.
That's all I need to do.
Right we now, didn't yes. finish it. We didn't vote on it. It was under discussion, right?
Right, we're under discussion, yeah.
So you just need to amend it. For amendment.
I'll make a motion to amend. To amend.
I'm sorry, Danny.
See, I thought we were in the middle of...
We haven't voted yet. I guess we can go ahead and vote tonight. Call a vote. Mike, call a vote.
All right. We'll... all in favor of 3 2-wheel drives. Is that what we're
yep.
we're at?
Yep. I say all opposed.
And all opposed.
Aye.
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 Motion does not carry.
Motion doesn't carry. All
right. Move to approve or award bid number 201504-298 for two trucks.
Second.
Two-wheel drive trucks.
Correct.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's to Peter.
Motion carries.
Right? Oh, excuse me. To Peterbilt Springfield, yes. Now, Danny, you can amend your prior
motion.
Or reconsider, I mean.
297.
Because we've already voted on it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Motion to reconsider. The motion on two four-wheel drives on the Freightliner. That's what I had, and it's a bid number. I don't have that before me. I've got that in the paper.
201504-297.
Okay. That's my motion.
And you want to make it go to how many machines?
Three.
And awarding it to whom?
Awarding it to Springfield Freightliner.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
So just to kind of clean the record up, we are buying 3 4-wheel drive trucks from Springfield Freightliner and 2 2-wheel drive trucks from Peterbilt.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. That was everybody's intentions, correct?
That's the way it was put out for bid, and that's the way we got it.
Yeah.
Is that timeline, you got 220 days on that?
I did that under standard build times. I can go back.
I can go ahead and read it. Yeah. I had to do that. Yep.
Hey, Randy. You guys can. Randy. Go ahead and discuss this out there, guys, if you don't mind. Thank you, guys.
We have next on the agenda a proclamation declaring May as Older Americans Month. And I have a proclamation. Older Americans Month 2015 for May, whereas Taney County, Missouri includes a thriving community of older Americans who deserve recognition for their contributions and sacrifices to ensure a better life for future generations. And whereas Taney County is committed to helping all individuals live longer, healthier lives in the community, communities of their choice for as long as possible. And whereas since 1965, the Older Americans Act has provided services that help older adults remain healthy and independent by complementing existing medical and health care systems, helping prevent hospital readmissions, and supporting some of life's most basic functions, such as bathing or preparing meals. And whereas these programs also support family caregivers, address issues of exploitation, neglect, and abuse of older adults, and adapt services to the needs of Native American elders. And whereas we recognize the value of community engagement and service in helping older adults remain healthy and active while giving back to others. And whereas our community can provide opportunities to enrich the lives of individuals of all ages by promoting and engaging in activity, wellness, and social inclusion, emphasizing home and community-based services that support independent living, ensuring community members of all ages benefit from the contributions and experience of older adults. Now, therefore, we of Taney County, Missouri, do hereby proclaim May 2015 to be Older Americans Month. We urge every resident to take time this month to celebrate older adults and the people who serve and support them as powerful and vital individuals who greatly contribute to the community.
Move to accept the proclamation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
About three copies of that.
I think they all want the same ink, so I'll do it upstairs.
Yeah. I'll just... And then... We have on the next on the agenda 911 interagency agreements, and we're not ready for discussion on that. So now we'll move on to bond refinancing. Mr. Dillingham.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience with us. We just have a lot to cover.
Jack Dillingham with Piper Jaffray. Please. Be with you, excuse me, today, and I'm at your pleasure here to discuss what you would like to help move the process along, hopefully.
Mr. Dillingham, I had one question for you, I guess, whenever you left before in this conversation, and that question was, if we pay off the bonding early, before the date of the voting on the judicial facility, then there will be no penalty as far as us receiving funds on that tax whenever it says it will sunset in the, I think it says it will sunset. I'm looking for it now. I read it this morning.
Yes, that's what we need to refer to is what the ballot language said. So if you could read that or provide that to me, I'll take a look at it with you or listen to what you have to say as it reflects in the ballot question itself.
Okay, here's the ballot language.
Okay.
And I think that was the only question I had for you, wasn't it? The main concern, anyway.
All right. For a period of 20 years from the date they're on a post.
The main part of it will be right down at the bottom where it says such sales tax to continue until December 31st, 2023, I believe that is, maybe it's 22. it's got sample across it, so I can't read it.
He didn't get a copy of the sample.
Yeah, I don't see that on this piece of paper.
He didn't get a copy of the sample.
Okay.
Gave him that one, which is the...
That's the Prop A, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, this one is for the judicial facility itself.
Okay, all right, I'm with you now.
Right at the bottom of that.
Yeah, I see it now. I just didn't have the right question, I guess.
My concern is if we pay off early, and this kind of clears that up just a little bit, but if we pay off early, then that we can go ahead and collect that sales tax to reimburse what we paid off until 2022.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't that ballot language read as for law enforcement? It doesn't necessarily include bond, I don't believe, does it?
No, it does not. It says, for the purpose of providing law enforcement services consisting of constructing, equipping, improving, operating, and maintaining a county jail and law enforcement center. So, Danny, I believe the point would be with respect to operating and maintaining a county jail and law enforcement center.
So we could collect the tax up to 2022.
Certainly.
To reimburse ourselves for
well,
the amount
I don't care
of
whether you reimburse yourselves or use it to operate with.
Right.
It's six of one, half a dozen of another, in my opinion, in terms of the overall budget of law enforcement. But what I wanted to double check was sometimes we see in propositions like this where they are more tied directly to the financing that says once the financing is paid off, the sales tax ends. This does not say that.
That does not say it. So that was
my
right
feeling in terms of what I need to double check
yeah
and make sure about in terms of language. But otherwise, it's obviously it's the law enforcement sales tax is tied to law enforcement of an 8 cent. It has a sunset date of December of 22, but it does not tie itself directly to the debt. But it does say obviously it's for the purpose of constructing any equipping and improving, operating, and maintaining a county jail and law enforcement center. So that's kind of all the aspects of operating law enforcement and the jail. I think that ties into one of the financing options as much as anything, because we have talked about keeping the same term with the same final payment, which is actually after the sales tax ends. It was purposefully set at the final payment being April of 23 from a standpoint of cash flow, that if the sales tax ends December 31st of 22, you're going to get those revenues from the state in January after the sales tax ends, obviously, just like every monthly. They come in after the end of the month, obviously. So by the middle of January, you'd have those sales taxes, and then in turn, you typically make your payments, your bond payments, if you will, a couple of weeks ahead of the payment to the investors, which would be April 1, so therefore by March 15th. So we'd certainly put in purposefully a little lag time from the time that you get the money middle of January to the time you need it the middle of March to make the last payment. Now then, we have talked about looking at some alternative payment dates in terms of principal. And I have numbers with me today that reflect the scenario where we would flip-flop the principal payment dates. Instead of making those payments April 1, make them October 1. There's been the discussion that historically, looking back on it, there was some belief that from a standpoint of cash flow, sales tax on an annual basis, that having the big payment, that's principal, coming due later in the fiscal or calendar year, that might make more sense. So from a perspective of flip-flopping the principal payment dates from April to October 1, the concept there would, to me, kind of tie into what Danny's question is, which is, okay, we would shorten up the final payment from April of 23 to October of 22. So that's where I feel like that you would possibly have some extra months of sales tax collection after the debt was paid off. And in addition, I think it's also realistic to think there might be a scenario where the commission would say, okay, we've got enough money in the sales tax fund to pay off the bonds even earlier, just from a standpoint of sales tax versus debt service, that you'd want to prepay the bonds. But now you have finalized, in my mind, for the record, by looking at the ballot language, that you're not in jeopardy of having to end the sales tax early if you paid it off either earlier through the restructuring and making the payments 6 months earlier, the final payment, in other words, than it is now, or calling in the refunding bonds at earlier than the final payment date as well, just from an economics perspective.
Now, there was a certain amount that you were going to propose as the dollar amount that we were going to refinance, right?
Yes, we were suggesting that as a result of the fact that to pay off the old debt, you're right, just over $10 million, closer to $11 million would be the amount of money we need to put into escrow to call in the old bonds at the payment date, at the first interest payment date, that they can be prepaid next April. And to,
what was that amount again?
Sure. The call date on the issue is April of 16. And so to put enough money in the escrow to advance refund the old certificates of participation, we need proceeds-wise about $12.6 million. Now, we will generate about $500,000 in premium through the current financing structure that's working best in the bond market for this type of a financing. But the net cash contribution to get us to where we're under $10 million on a deal size, which is important because that allows for these bonds to be designated bank qualified, is $875,000. So that's where the question to me in terms of how much money we were discussing previously the county coming out of pocket with at closing, which would be basically at this point if we moved forward about July 1, of $875,000. Now, the reason for that and the value to doing that from a standpoint of the refunding is twofold. One, we assume that cash balance of $875,000 is better spent or better utilized to help buy down the debt and apply it towards the payoff of the 2006 issue, as we assume that it's not earning much money in terms of the investment it's in today. And I have checked with United Missouri Bank, the trustee who's holding the old reserve, for example, and it's just earning a minuscule 0.1% on the old reserve. We're showing the old reserve going in as a source as well. That's $1,926,000. And then this cash contribution, $875,000, gets us where we can sell less than $10 million of refunding bonds. And the refunding bond being under $10 million will allow for them to be designated bank qualified. Bank qualified allows for the financing to be done at a little lower interest rate because commercial banks will have more interest in purchasing and being investors in the issue if they can be designated bank qualified. So to lower the overall financing costs close to 0.2%, we're so close to being in the area where we can issue these bank qualified, it's well worth the effort to try to see if there's a way to get there.
Real quick, Rick, is there any negatives at all in doing this? I'm looking and I'm not seeing anything.
Brandon, I've been trying to get you to make sure we have somebody on board that really can tell us the timing is the big deal.
Right.
And when I brought back in last time, he looked at the chart. He said he gave me a chart. He was right on. We actually, it's going to cost us a little more down, but then I feel like he's going to give us the best advice as to when. No, there's no negative. It's just a matter of choosing when.
Rick is referring to is
just... The interest rate's a little lower than...
Obviously, here's the trend line today, right. About 2.1, but you've got to keep in mind this only goes from 1.5
to 2.7.
To 2.7. Yeah.
So it's not a big range.
But the point is that we're... Well, there's ebbs and flows. It's the stock market, the bond market, all markets, whether it's cattle, grain, whatever,
right,
has some volatility to them, right? But we're still in a very historically low interest rate environment. But yes, has the market trended up here a little bit in the past since we met last? Yes, but who's to say what it won't be lower again when we're in the market in a month or two?
What's the next step if we decide we want to go further with this? Mr. Procurement, do we need to do a...
No. No. This is particularly, that's why I hung around and I verified that the state statutes allow for it falling in the realm of professional services can be appointed by the commission without RFQ or RFP or any other selection process for the services of this particular vendor, especially when there's a history of satisfied service.
Thank you.
Is this something you guys want to look toward doing? I don't have any objections. I
would like to.
I want Frank to get involved, obviously.
Right, but I'm really interested in probably going looking at it. But I'm going ahead and doing it, maybe. But we need to visit with Frank. We need to. Look, how's the dollars going to affect the budget as of now? Did you know, or you know I was going to ask that question? Or
talking about the
I suspect somebody might.
You're talking about the $875,000 we'd have to come up with in July?
If we go ahead and work on this and we decide we want to do this, and I believe you have the decision to make as to whether or not you want to choose this. This is our financial advisor, and go ahead and let him start, let him advise you, because there's a lot of different options. He's just presented really one scenario.
Right.
So you guys do have a lot of thinking to say, I'll do this. And you may want to do that today. You may want to do that next week. I would suggest that at least you look at those different options. And, yes, we will have to come up with that money from there. Now, there's quite a bit in the contingency fund, and that's the reason that I had suggested we have what we have in there. I think you guys upped that a little bit, and we... If we close on this in July, we couldn't use the emergency fund. I think if you waited, you could use emergency fund if you wanted to, or you can amend the budget.
It looks like we might have to do that anyways because of the capital improvement monies, and that's what we need to get upstairs and find out about as well. So.
Yeah, we have to have a discussion on that. That's the reason I wanted to wait. What you're saying is though, is the and we got. We waited last week because there was questions about whether we could have Mr. Dillingham represent us without going out for an RFQ, and he's answered that question for us because of the statutes. So today, I guess the decision could be made if we wanted to...
I might interject.
Okay.
Danny, what I see you heading towards the possibility of considering along your... where you're headed is that you could allow me to be retained contingent upon approval of your legal counsel.
We can, but I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want, no offense, I don't want to make a motion contingent upon anything like that. Your question was answered as far as the ballot language and everything, right?
Yes, and I was looking at all different options. That's the reason I asked from the clerk this morning to have these ballot languages brought down to us to see where the possibility of funding might come into play. What you're saying, Brandon, is you want to visit with Frank. Is Frank's here today, right? He may have to do some research.
Right.
But at that point, you want to make a motion to...
Well, we can't...
retain Mr. Dillingham.
I think we need to start getting Frank in on the loop, what's going on, and then he can set us up on set it up for us how we need to proceed.
Okay, I mean, I'm just saying,
I mean, we can talk to him individually. We can't meet with him. I mean, if he were here right now, but he's not here. He's upstairs waiting on us for this other deal.
He's in the hallway.
Oh.
Like
if you don't mind.
Okay, he'll probably have to do research.
He will, but that way he can at least... That way they can start the process.
I was on to, before we can get information, we have to retain somebody.
Frank, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Do you know Mr. Dillingham?
Hi, we spoke on it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jack Dillingham.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you in person.
So, I think we're interested in going in with, you know, having him go ahead and look at the bond refinancing, which he's already done. I guess my question for you is how do we need to proceed from here? If we don't have to do an RFQ, we don't have to do those things, what's kind of the next steps?
Yeah, and what I'm proposing is just to serve as financial advisor and on a fee basis as financial advisor, and then we would run a process for selecting the underwriter or bank to serve as a purchaser or underwriter of the bond issue. I'm just looking to become a professional services consultant, being paid a fee, and helping to provide the path to get it refinanced.
So let us know, are we in agreement we're going to direct Frank to let him work with Mr. Dillingham to let us know what the process is so we can get it going?
Well, I think the whole question that will be is this service has to be under contract. With anything we've learned in the last 2 or 3 years, that your service will have to be under a contract. And you have that contract available, I see. But you'll have to take and review it, and you'll have to give a recommendation to the commission at that point to move forward, not to move forward. That's where we're at.
Okay, I understand. This was news.
Right. The reason I had you come in is because we're all here. It's on the agenda. That way we can all talk to you right now, let you know what's going on, and then that way we can move forward.
Sure.
So are we good?
Yes. As I understand it, I review the documentation. If I've got any questions, I can visit with you, can't I?
Absolutely.
And my sense of it is that you, this is not your first rodeo, and all. But if I have any questions, I'll ask you. But I'm sure he's familiar with the legal requirements for entering into a valid contractual relationship. So I'll review it. Are we talking about any particular time frame in which to put all of this together?
Well, that's what we've been in discussion about. The quicker or the, it's a judgment call. And as he presented to us, when the amount of interest is higher or lower as far as the refinancing, the quicker. Right now, it looks like it's right in the level that we started off on. So I'm saying that we probably need the information available whenever, if we decide to retain Mr. Dillingham, he is able to say at this, you need to get this done this week or next week or a month from now at that point, and we have to use his judgment.
Yeah, I think the point is that the general trend in interest rates is perceived to be going up, not quickly. But the point is that to show them some further options in terms of whether they put cash in, whether they don't, whether they shorten the final maturity, and things like that, those are details that we need to work out. But first, we all agree I need to get retained.
Yes, got it.
That has to be under contract, and that's what my point was.
Okay, with that understanding, I think I can have my part of this done by next week. Is that soon enough?
For me, my perspective, of course, absolutely.
Okay, I'm good.
I understand who the client is. They are, so.
Yes, me too.
Exactly.
Like I said, Frank, I just wanted you to come in. That way we're not having to talk to you individually.
No, that's
just
me.
So anyways, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, and I will leave you all a copy of what he has.
Okay.
You're aware of what he's reviewing.
Thank you, and not
Thank
to be
you.
Rude, but we've got an individual been waiting as well. Like, yeah, I know you did as well. So, but
it's Mondays, I know.
And he's got to get to Springfield. And
okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we're scheduled
we're
for upstairs.
We'll recess and meet back upstairs.